Well, we have gathered this morning because of an invitation to a meal, a special addition to our worship service today. The meal before us is called the Lord's Supper because the supper belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this special meal that is before us is a special time in the life of the church because we are preparing to commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to put before you the idea this morning that this supper that is before us is a royal feast. A royal feast. There is a kingly element to the supper that is before us. As we've been talking this week at the Life Focus group about the mediatorial kingship of Christ, we've been talking about the role of the Lord Jesus, and we have before us a supper that is the Lord's Supper. And so let's look this morning as the supper directs us to the kingly role of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's something that we tend to forget with the supper, because we think of it as the priestly work of Christ. Well, one of the things we talked about this week is we cannot separate the prophet, the priest, and the king. Those three roles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they go together. They complement one another. We can't have one without the other. There must be power and authority with the Lord Jesus to make what has happened in the supper to be effectual, to be applied to gather his people. And so I do want to try to instill that thought into you this morning as we come to the Lord's Supper, the kingship of Christ, and also with the elements themselves. The Larger Catechism, question 45, asks the question, how doth Christ execute the office of a king? And there are eight particular elements in this answer that are wonderful and wise applications for the Christian. And we've looked at a number of these this week. We'll focus on one of these this morning. But I'd like to read the answer to you. Christ executed the office of a king, first of all, in calling out of the world a people to himself. That was the first thing we looked at as far as the role of the mediatorial king. He has the power and authority to call his people. He calls them to himself. Secondly, our mediatorial king, he gives them officers, laws, and censures by which he visibly governs them. So we trace then back the authority of the church, the structure of the church, to the mediatorial king. He builds the church. Thirdly, in bestowing saving grace upon his elect. So it's interesting, we attribute that saving element to the mediatorial kingship of Christ, even though there's a priestly and a prophetic element to it as well. Fourthly, we see rewarding their obedience and correcting them for their sins. So there's an important element with the Lord Jesus Christ and his mediatorial work in the giving of a law. And that's very unpopular in the Christian world today to talk about law and to talk about order and censures and government. Those things are unpopular, largely because the mediatorial kingship of Christ itself has been neglected. Fifthly, we see preserving and supporting them under all their temptations and sufferings. This is something we looked at last evening, how the Lord Jesus protects and draws his people toward himself, and he supports them even during times of temptation. Sixthly, in this answer of the Larger Catechism, we see restraining and overcoming all their enemies. And that is a wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ, conquering his enemies. Seventhly, and this will be our focus for the morning, powerfully ordering all things for his own glory and their good. And then the last part of this is the eighth section of question 45, taking vengeance on the rest who know not God and obey not the gospel. Again, we looked at that last evening, one of the unpopular parts of the Psalms in the Christian world today are the imprecatory Psalms. But that's an important part of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, is crushing and destroying his enemies. And as unpopular as it is, we neglect a work of the Lord Jesus if we neglect those psalms. So let's turn our attention to see this particular work of the mediatorial king, powerfully ordering all things for his glory and their good. We've read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me very briefly read one more catechism answer. The larger catechism question 168 asks, what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to the appointment of Jesus Christ. So here, see, there's a connection with the Lord's Supper to the power and the authority of Christ. He institutes the Lord's Supper. He commands the Lord's Supper. So not only is he the focus of it, he has the authority to do it. We don't have the authority today to institute new sacraments or to introduce things because we go by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So we see in our answer, it's by the appointment of Jesus Christ. His death is showed forth, and they that worthily communicate feed upon his body and blood to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. They have their union and communion with him confirmed. They testify and renew their thankfulness and engagement to God and their mutual love and fellowship each with the other as members of the same mystical body. So there's a sense in which the body of Christ is pictured for us. It is broken. His blood is spilled. That work of Christ is put before us. Well, that's a part of Christ's mediatorial kingship. Because going through that and ascending after that to sit at the right hand of the Father, he has earned that authority. That's what we're reading about in Matthew chapter 28, when we see the Lord Jesus say, all authority has been given to me. Why is all authority given to Jesus? Because of what you see on the table before you. Because of what he has done. There's a connection to this supper. It is a royal feast that we've been invited to. There's a kingly element. So I do want to focus our time today on looking at the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit last night about how Christians struggle so much in our culture to show respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a difficult thing because people have very good intentions, very good motives. They want to love the Lord Jesus. They want to appeal to a broader culture. And one of the ways that they often do that is by depicting Christ in books, in pictures, and in movies. Now, we would say this morning that these things are violations of the second commandment. We are not allowed to do such things. But when we see the Christian world doing that, that's kind of helpful for us to see. That's a symptom of something. That's a symptom of people who don't actually know the Lord Jesus Christ as they should. Because when they resort to unlawful ways to show him, that shows us that something is wrong. There's some disconnect with how they understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one of the things we want to see, this is something that is all over our culture. And in fact, this very moment, there are two new full-length feature movies out about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, probably very well-intentioned, but a wrong way to remember Christ. How are we supposed to remember Christ? One of the ways is on the table before us. This is a lawful way to remember the Lord Jesus. We're not given authority to institute new ways to know Jesus, in other words. So there's a kingly prohibition that is there for our knowledge of Christ. And I put that before you because this is something that we have seen historically from the Middle Ages throughout the Renaissance era and even into the modern times. Jesus is so often depicted in certain ways. Isn't it kind of interesting just to observe and notice how Jesus is depicted? First of all, what's one of the ways that Jesus is most often depicted? Blonde hair, blue eyes, American. That's a strange thing in and of itself. But we want to also notice that Jesus is also so often depicted as being weak and sad and disappointed. He's so often to many a baby in his mother's arms. Isn't that interesting? Because that actually depicts what people think about Jesus. They envision him, and so then that improper picture of Christ perpetuates into now it's working. All right, lower my voice a little bit. So that perpetuates into into what we see, then making the knowledge of Christ to be worse as culture goes forward. So those who would make pictures and movies about the Lord Jesus, that's not helping. It's not helping. It actually shrouds the true Christ of the Scriptures. So we see then as this moves forward, it spills over into how Christians believe what they believe about the law of God. Many Christians no longer consider the law of God to be valid. They say that's the Old Testament, and we don't have to think about the law of God. Many Christians have all but abandoned the law in our current culture. And so Christians then, they now no longer think of the Lord Jesus Christ as an authoritative lawgiver. There's an element of authority that's been stripped away from the Lord Jesus. No longer do Christians think about Christ as we just read in the larger catechism question 45. No longer do they think of him as a powerful king who gives officers and laws and censures by which he visibly governs them. They don't think of Jesus like that. We see also that many Christians don't think of Jesus as one who powerfully restrains and overcomes our enemies and places judgment and vengeance upon those who disobey the gospel, because the vision of Christ, the understanding of Christ, is so low in our culture. Many Christians have even abandoned the gospel itself. No mentioning of sin, hardly ever a mention of the wrath of God poured out upon Christ for the sins of his people. My friends, this distorted picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, it actually shrouds over the Lord's Supper in the modern church too. Because people don't think about the power and authority of Christ with the Lord's Supper, they don't think about his power and authority in the Lord's Supper. What has Christ done in the Lord's Supper? We'll talk about that this morning. I'd like you to see that we should have a proper view of the power and the authority of Christ. The Lord's Supper today before us is a time of reflection upon the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time when we consider the broken body of Christ crucified. And I want you to consider how important the Lord's Supper is to confirm and honor the mediatorial kingship of Christ. You see, by dying and rising again, Christ earned authority over all things. And I think a beautiful passage before us, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, helps us to see this connection to the authority of Christ and his death upon the cross. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And in verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So that name, that authority is given to him because of the cross. Because of what you see here before you. A direct connection to the mediatorial kingship of Christ. Authority is given to him because of the cross. Oh, my friends, it's amazing how much that point is missed in the Christian church today. Christians so often love to hear about, and they should love to hear about, it's one of those things we have a tension with. The crucifixion of Christ is the worst news ever, and it causes us to weep when we consider it, but it's also the best news ever. So we like to hear about Christ dying for our sins. But I wonder how many Christians would want to hear about Christ dying to gain authority over us. You see, that connection is often lost, and it's before us here in Philippians 2 and in Matthew 28 and 1 Corinthians 11. Our RPCNA testimony is very clear. I read this a few times, but for those who haven't heard it in this context, our testimony says that Jesus Christ, as mediator, governs all creatures and all their actions for his own glory. Submission is due to him from all men and angels. All men in every possible relation and condition are under obligation to promote his gracious purposes according to his law. William Symington says on the doctrine of mediatorial kingship, he says, "No doctrine in Scripture is supported by clearer or more abundant evidence than the universality of Christ's mediatorial supremacy." That's a pretty big statement there regarding that doctrine. He says, no other doctrine is more clear. It seems to be very clear from God's Word, and we're looking at a couple of instances here this morning. Let's use the remainder of our brief time this morning to consider how Christ powerfully orders all things for His glory and their good. First of all, His power and the fact that it extends to all things is in Matthew 28 that we have read. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That pretty much sums it up. All authority, all power is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that helps us to understand then, on a practical level, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It's interesting that sometimes we don't want Jesus to be all-powerful because it's just inconvenient for us. But this is something that we just actually don't believe. Do we really believe that all things work for our good, that all things work for His glory? Well, we sure grumble a lot for people who believe all things work to our good, don't we? Maybe, do you guys grumble about things? I don't know. I'm just talking to myself, maybe. Am I the only one that grumbles? Hopefully, I wish we didn't, but I would suspect that you probably have your share of frustrations with the world in which we live. But does the power of Christ ever enter your thoughts regarding the Lord's Supper? How is your view of Jesus today? How do you view Christ in the world in which we live? Look at the continual destruction of our society that we see each and every day around us, the continual rise of immorality, the wicked in our culture who gain power, it seems, almost every day, winning victories one after the other. Do we question Christ in all of that? Is Christ still in control? Do we believe that? He's able to work all things for His glory and our good. Do we truly believe such a statement? It would help if we embraced the mediatorial kingship of Christ, because that would help us to understand that He's working it all for our good. And the connections are made in God's Word. Just this very week, in fact, this very week, the Supreme Court is possibly swaying over to a majority view of promoting wickedness and rebelling against God, as we see these important elements of religious liberty and even the abortion decision. All of these things are hanging in the balance with the Supreme Court. And one man has now been promoted for that particular office. And we see this tension in our nation as we wait to see who's next. Well, who's in control? Do we fret over those things? Do we lay awake at night and wonder who's in control? Or is Christ in control? Can the same Christ who worked the worst sin ever, which is pictured for you on that table, the breaking of Christ's body and the spilling of His blood, if He worked that for His glory and your good, can't He also work everything else? And you see, that's why that's a hope to you today. Because I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what sins are bombarding you, what burdens are in your life. But they're all less than that. And if He can do that, then He can turn your trial, your burden, your sin, your personal rebellion, whatever it is, He can turn it for His glory and for your good. Trust me, my friends, we have many things to see in our culture, our society, that pull us away from this truth that Christ reigns. They're tempting us away from seeing that truth. But my friends, today the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. And no matter the depression and the pessimism that we see in the Christian world, the doctrine of the mediatorial kingship of Christ should hold our heads high as we see the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus. We should be a people with confidence in the power of Christ, with knowledge of His ability that He will change things for His glory and for our good. And not just some things, but all things. And that should give us power and hope tonight as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's see also in Matthew 28, not only is He powerfully ordered, but He does certainly order all things. It's not just a power over the church that we see in the mediatorial kingship of Christ. It's power and authority over all the world, over pagan nations and pagan kings, over evil, over devils, over Satan, over whatever it is that stands against the church. The Lord Jesus reigns, and He has power and authority over it. My friends, today, surprisingly, that's a controversial statement to make, because many people do not want to see that Christ has authority over all things. They won't acknowledge Matthew 28. They won't acknowledge that Christ has authority that extends to every place. And then so one of the reasons why you see so much angst and struggle and confusion in the church of our age, we're not immune to that. We have a great testimony, and we have a good confession, and we have, you know, solid churches, but we're weak and we're sinful. We can wake up in the morning and forget the truths that we believe. Let's be careful about that. Let's acknowledge what we read in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. Not only does Jesus rule all things, but Jesus expects that we would obey all things that He has commanded. And so there is a position of authority that the Lord Jesus has established over the world, not simply over the church. We would say today that we know and we desire Christ. We must embrace Christ as He is presented in His Word, as an all-powerful King and mediator over all things, over all people, over all authority, to command whatever it is that He desires to command. The doctrine of mediatorial kingship influences everything we ever do, every decision we make, every word we speak, and every thought that we have. For His glory, He turns all things. As much as we don't like to understand it, as much as we don't want to acknowledge it, our Lord Jesus is even able to take sin and turn it for His glory and our good. Now, I appreciate the fact that I can say that this morning, because there are many churches, many pulpits today where I could say such a thing and I'd be quickly escorted out the door. As a part of our confession, we read in chapter 4, the almighty power, unsearchable wisdom, and infinite goodness of God so far manifests itself in His providence that it extendeth itself even to the first fall and all other sins of angels and men, and that not by a bare permission, but such as hath joined with it a most wise and powerful bounding, and otherwise ordering and governing of them in a manifold dispensation to His own holy ends. What a powerful God that we have, that He can take even these heinous sins, the fall of man, and all other sins in between, and the sin that you see even depicted on the table before you. That's right, sometimes we forget about the fact that breaking the body of Christ and pouring out His blood was a sinful act. That's His death that is put before us. And so for your consideration today in coming to the table, I would encourage you to consider and meditate upon the power and the authority of King Jesus. Every time that you and I complain about our condition in life or the world in which we live, every time we lose hope with the the insane things that seem to be happening in the news every day, we're actually questioning Christ's ability to powerfully order all things for His glory and our good. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that Jesus can powerfully order all things? Look to the table and see that He can, because He has and He will. We see today, we are so encouraged to see the mediatorial kingship of Christ and the power that He has before us. If He can fix the most heinous sin of all, His own crucifixion, He can fix any sin, any problem, any burden. We can look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps in the hearing of God's word today, you're in the congregation today and you don't know this Christ. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. This power is foreign to you. You don't know Him. And in the hearing of God's word today, you have been called multiple times to see the authority of Christ over your life. Because Matthew 28 includes you if you are apart from Christ. You are under His authority. And so I would call you today to repent of your sins, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while He may be found. Turn to Christ for salvation. Let's close with considering that not only is Christ rule and reign for His glory and for all of His purposes, but it's also for our good. Christ's mediatorial reign is for our good. Because Christ has done His kingly work, we are able to have union and communion with Him today. Because Christ is the great mediatorial King, we can celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because Christ is King, our enemies are defeated. Because Christ is King, we are protected and preserved. Because Christ is King, we can be spiritually nourished by the supper that is before us. Because Christ is King, we can have a church that is structured and ordered. We can have laws. We can have officers and censures. Those are blessings from Christ. Because Christ is King, we can be saved. So our salvation is directly linked to the mediatorial kingship of Christ. And so I call you to see that your receiving of the elements of the Lord's Supper this morning is directly connected to the kingship of Christ. So we should see our coming to the table as our being invited to sit down at the table of a king. And not just any king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our great mediatorial King. And so welcome today to a royal feast. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would grant us grateful hearts for the wonderful way that Christ has powerfully worked all things for His glory and our good. Help us, we pray, to trust in His reign over us, and help us to give our service to His kingdom, and grant us sweet fellowship with Him this day in the Lord's Supper. In Christ's powerful and kingly name we pray. Amen.